1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment hath we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Heavenly Father, Lord, we can be helped tonight, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would help us. And Lord, thank you for these types of messages that help us, dear God, to understand where we're at, where we need to get to. And Lord, with your help, and only with your help, Lord, please help us to grow and perfect our love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Kind of two interesting subjects this morning needed to be preached before tonight should be preached. And I'll show you why that's true in just a minute. Let me say that the subject this morning concerning the love of God. When we talk about measuring something, you know it's impossible to measure the love of God. I mean, folks, it goes on forever. You can't get to the depth of it. You can't get to the height of it. You can't calculate with some high math the volume of it. I will tell you this, the love of God is immeasurable. But the Bible says that when it comes to us, since we're finite and God is infinite, since we're temporal and God is eternal, that the Bible says we certainly can measure our love. And God gives us three different measuring sticks that we're going to look at tonight. And a measuring stick helps us to properly evaluate where our love is. I was working with Chad and helped him just a half a day here a while back on his house, and me and Lucas was working together, and I needed a board that was 14 foot long, and I looked over at that board and I said, I think that's a 14 foot board. And he said, looked at it and he said, I don't know. And I said, well, it could be a 12. And he said, you know, I think it's a 12. Well, but it could be a 14. And you know what settles it? You reach in your tool belt and you go get the tape measure and you put it on there and you say, you know what, that's a 14 foot board. And you know what? Sometimes if we're not careful, we're trying to evaluate our love for God without the use of a measuring stick. And at best, we're just making a guess. And could I say this? We tend to take our 10-foot board of love and choose to look at it like it's 16-foot sometimes. And there's nothing, I think, that helps put things in perspective like the Word of God. So let's let the Word of God be that measuring stick tonight. Let me just make some general observations from the reading tonight of this scripture, because there's some wonderful things we can learn about this subject of love. I think some of the greatest lessons we can learn about loving God and loving one another, we can learn from how God loves us. And that's why we needed to preach on what we did this morning before I think we can properly address the subject tonight. Now let's first of all look at verse number 8 and what we read. And the Bible says in verse number 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. What a wonderful last statement, for God is love. And down in verse 16 again, we read that little phrase there. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, period. God is love. Love. God is love. Now, real love cannot be experienced without involving God, because God is love. Now get that in your heart, okay? You can call it love. The world calls it love. Everybody's in love. Everybody's talking about love. If you don't have whatever you're talking about, whatever you're experiencing, if it has excluded God, let me promise you this, it's not real love. Because you can't have love, experience love, have love in a relationship that has excluded Almighty God, for God is love. Number two, your love for God increases the more you realize how much God loved you. Now, preacher, what if I get to the end of tonight and, man, I realize that, you know what, I really do need to grow in this area of my love of God. And by the way, if you don't come to that conclusion, then I've failed and the Word of God has failed. And I think you probably aren't paying attention. I doubt if I gave testimony opportunity at the end of this message, anyone would be willing or be so foolish to stand up and say, preacher, honestly, I love God as much as I ever will and ever can. My love is completely perfected. I think that everybody in here would have a hard time not booing you, okay? And sit down. And if there was a couple rotten tomatoes, they may come through the crowd. And because what a foolish thing to say. Now watch this, okay? The only way that this preacher can ever help you, and the only way the Holy Spirit can help you, is if we decide to realize that we all have much more that we can become in this Christian life than what we are. You know, the perfect person who has arrived, or at least in their mind thinks that they've arrived, there's really nothing much that I can do to help that person. And so let's all be teachable. I promise you, you can love God more than you love him right now. I promise you, I can love God more than I love him right now. And we're going to use the measuring stick. But watch this. You say, preacher, what if I want to increase my love? Your love for God increases the more you realize how much God loved you. Look at verse 19. We'll teach that. We love him. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Because he first loved us. This is one of those, okay, what came first, the chicken and the egg? Well, you can argue about that all day. But I'll tell you this. If you want to argue this, it shouldn't take but a second. Oh, preacher, what came first, God loving us or us loving God? Well, I think we can settle that right here, okay? No, you didn't start loving God and then God say, oh, they love me, I think I'll love them back. That's not how it went. That's not how it worked at all. God loved us. And the more we realized how much God loved us, more than we could begin to love him back. And you'll spend an entire lifetime as you study the Bible really growing in your understanding of the love of God. I preached 5 quick points this morning. I could have preached 50 points this morning. Folks, there's so much evidence and so many different things that teach us and show us how much God loves us. And the more we study the Bible, the more we realize the great love of God. You know what? The more then that we have a foundation and a basis to love him back. And so the more we understand the love of God, the more our love for him increases. And then number 3, God's love is always connected to God's willingness to sacrificially give. Look at verse 9 and 10, and wonderful things. We taught this morning, but let's just review. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. You know, words are cheap. Young ladies, you better listen to what your preacher said. Okay, some toe-headed guy can tell you anything he wants to tell you. And boy, there's so much talk about love. Some girl can bat her eyes and tell you guys how much she loves you. But I'm going to tell you something. God didn't just say it, he proved it. You know what? Anybody can say anything. But the honest truth is, you know how he proved that he loved us? He gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he didn't just give something that's nominal. He gave his only begotten son. He gave his best for me. He gave his best for you. And so God's love is always connected to God's willingness to sacrificially give. Now, preacher, we're going to get the tape measure out. Yep. And we're going to do three measurements. Yes. And after that, maybe we can understand a little bit more about how much do I love God. That's the plan for tonight. All right. Let me give you the first measurement we can use. My love for God can be measured by my love for the brethren, by my love for the brethren. Now look at verse number 11. Again, we want to make sure that what we're saying is clearly supported by the Bible. Here it is. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. How about verse 12? No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. It's grown up. It's become mature in our life. All right. How about verse number 20? If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother. Boy, this is strong. Look at this next. He's a liar. He is a liar. Now, folks, I didn't say that. God said that. That means if you stand up tonight and say, preacher, I just want to tell you how much I love God and you hate your brother and sister, a brother and sister in Christ, then I'm sorry. The Bible says you're a liar. God said it. If God said it, it's true. And so don't come to me and talk to me about how much you love God if you hate the brother. And how about this? The next verse there in verse number 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Preacher, how much do I love God? Well, let me ask you this question to help you measure it. How much do you love the brother? How much do you love the brother? Do you like being with the brother? You know, I don't understand people that are supposed to be Christians and they dread coming to church and love going out into the world. They'd rather hang around the lost than they would the saved. I mean, folks, when you get born into the family, there ought to be a family attraction. There ought to be you ought to want to get to family. You ought to want to see family. Lord willing, on the 12th of September, you know what? I'm flying Tabitha out here and Jalen. And she's due the 8th of December. And Jalen turns 2 in November. Okay, now this is important stuff. Are you paying attention? All right, and so when they're under 2, you don't have to buy a separate ticket. So we're trying to get them back out here one more time, and we're trying to do it in September rather than October because they have to sit on mama's lap. And I'm afraid that by November there won't be a lap to sit on if we wait much longer, as Tabitha is now expecting a baby. And so, hey, can I tell you this? I'm excited. You know why? Because she's my baby girl. Because she's part of my family. Are you listening to me? Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't get it. I love God. I tell you what, I hate this family. I don't like this family. I can't stand this family. I'm sick of this family. Sick of this person. Don't like this person. Shame on you. And by the way, excuse me, but you're a liar. You don't love God. No, you don't. You don't love God. You know what? If you had an understanding of the love of God, you'd understand that God so loved the world. I'm talking about the most wicked person that's alive today. God loves him. All right? I'm talking about the person that's incarcerated for the most vile offenses that could be committed by mankind. I'm telling you that God loved them, and he not only loved them, he sent his son to die for them. And we're supposed to be saved, and we're supposed to be walking with God. And we're walking around with ought in our heart against our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean it, shame on us. I mean it, shame on us. Now, it's going to be a wonderful thing in your life when you can get to the point where you can walk into Blessed Hope Baptist Church and look around and love every single person in there. Can I say this, folks? We're all human. I don't say you have to agree with everything everybody else is doing, but you can still love them. Okay, I'm not saying that you can even say that everything that they're doing is biblical, but you can still love them, okay? And so that's a measuring stick. The Bible's very clear about this. Now, can I just give you some things? Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I struggle in this. And you know what? I'd rather somebody be honest than walk around pretending that they love everybody than spend all their life sneaking around their back throwing dirt on them. Shame on you. I mean that. Shame on you. And I don't think that that's a big problem here. I do think there's some of it going on. And you know what? Say, preacher, how do you know? Does people come tell you? No, because they ain't got the guts to come tell me. You know why? Because I'd line them out. And by the way, if they feel like they can come to you, then you ain't much Christian. You know, who feels free to come to you and run down other people? Have you left that open door in your life? Where people feel comfortable coming to you and they can run other people down and they don't get rebuked? They don't get put in their place? Because if you're doing that, listen, you know what? Where there's no wood, the fire goes out, amen? There's no place to go spread the gossip, then it stops being spread. And come on. All right. Oh, preacher, but you need to know about so-and-so. And, well, I probably need to know some things about you. And you could probably know some things about me. But why don't we spend our life stopping being busybodies? Why don't we keep our nose out of everybody else's business? Why don't we realize we got more problems than everybody else put together? You got you straightened out yet? Well, then you don't need to take on any more projects. All right. Amen. This is good for us. Amen. A few amens. I'm about to go down amen myself. I mean, we need this Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay. By the way, we got a good church, and I think we got a loving church. But don't tell me that we measure up to the love of God in this area of our life. So let's just love each other. Good night. It's not that hard. So, preacher, how do you learn to love the brothers and sisters in your church family better? I can give you a couple of very practical things. You know what? Why don't you pray for them? If you just decide to pray for every other member of the church, I mean, we've got available in our church here, church directory. All you got to do is see my wife, and you can get the names of everybody in our church, the list of the families of everybody in our church. You got the address. If you don't like them, you can send them hate mail. I mean, there's everything on there. You know, social security numbers on there, driver's licenses on there, their bank account numbers. Don't worry about it. No. I checked. Nobody's got money here. We're good, all right? Man, somebody said, aren't you afraid somebody will steal your identity? I said, good night. In 3 days, they'll bring it back. It ain't going to be, it's not going to do them a bit of good, you know. So, you know what? Hey, why don't you do that, okay? I promise you this is true. If you'll pray for somebody, maybe you do. Come on. Maybe you do have a little bit of problem. Preacher, somebody just honestly, maybe they said something, did something. And most of the time I find out they don't even realize they said it or done it. And you're carrying it, and they don't even know it. And, you know, bitterness doesn't hurt anybody but you. And you've never said, come on, you've never said anything about somebody that you kind of wish you could take back? I have. All right, anybody else want to raise their hand right there? Let's have a revival meeting here, amen. All right, then stop. Okay, I mean, come on, we're all human. I still love them. But Brother Jerry, somebody said something about you, and probably if I looked at it real hard, part of it's probably true, you know. I'd get mad at him if everything wasn't so true, but come on. You know what, that's okay. Everybody's had that time. You know what, if you'll pray for your church family and pray with your church family, then you'll grow in love with your church family. I'm talking about Wednesday night. I'm talking about prayer meeting. I'm talking about going over to that brother and just say, hey, can we pray together? Now, on this Wednesday, everybody's going to be scared to go to anybody because somebody comes to you think, oh, man, they wanted to pray for me, and they must hate my guts, you know. And no. Wait a couple weeks, sneak up on them. And if you pray for your church family and pray with your church family, you know what? You'll find out that you grow in love for them. You know what? I don't care who's done what. I find out this. I get before the throne of grace and start talking about them and bringing their name before the Lord. God always tenderizes my heart, and he makes me ashamed. I mean, you know, what am I going to go tell God about somebody else that God can't say, well, while you're here? Okay, if you've got to gossip, you got to go tell somebody something about somebody, go tell him. Because I promise you, you won't do it very often. You won't do it very much, and things will get changed in your life. And by the way, pray. I'll give you a quick little formula. How do you increase my love for the brother? Pray for your church family, pray with your church family. Number two, refuse to allow envy and jealousy to exist in your life. Refuse to allow envy and jealousy to exist in your life. Okay, folks, those are the two sins. I've got a series I want to preach, and I've been studying on it, and I honestly, it's ready. I just waiting for a green light by the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, there are seven silent sins that are killing Christians today. Seven silent sins. What are you talking about? I'm not talking about somebody walking around doing this. I'm not talking about things you can see. I'm talking about these inward sins. Inward sins. And if you can just kind of, listen, there's a way to get freed from this stuff. Come on, ladies, let's be honest. Are you just kind of extremely jealous by nature? You know, if you are, you probably have a hard time in a lot of your relationships in your church family. Are you envious by nature? Okay, somebody can't share a testimony about something good that happens in their life where you don't sit back there mad. I mean, you can't even rejoice with somebody. I mean, you know, I got to the point where I kind of stopped coming to the pulpit, to be honest with you, and sharing some good things. I did. You know, I got about 2/3 of the church that's always glad, and about 1/3 of you just look like you're angry. You know, I mean, how dare God bless our preacher? Well, why does God do that for him? Don't do it for me. Now, I'm just telling you, it causes problems. If you can't fix these, hey, how do you fix them? Well, you can wait till the Lord gives me the green light, and I'll help you with that. Or, if you've got a King James Holy Bible and a concordance, you can study what I've studied. You can get, hey, it's nothing like saying, Lord, I've got an issue here, and you know what? You tackle that in your word, and I'm going to do a word study on that. I'm going to figure out how to fix this thing. Because listen, you know what? If you can get to that place in your life where you can honestly be glad for every other person and every good thing that happens to in their life, then it'll help you to love the brother. Okay, we ought to be rooting for each other, not jealous of each other, envious of each other, okay? And then number three, do something nice for a family in the church. And you get the church directory, and you know what you could do? This would be a good thing. Did I tell you what I did on our first Indian missions trip out there? You were with me, Brother Levi. I was talking about this, my idea of what ministry is before we went there. And ministry is offering yourself upon the altar as a sacrifice, with both sacrifice and service on the altar of somebody else's life. I said, some of you think that we're going to drive all the way there, 2 days, 2.5 days, all the way back, 2.5 days, and we'll start doing ministry once we get out there. Now listen, because this could help Blessed Hope Baptist Church huge, okay? And I told those that signed up to go on the trip, ministry starts the minute we climb on the bus here. Because you see, if you'll look around, isn't this something? We'll minister to bus kids, but we won't minister to each other. All right? How about ministering to each other? And you know what I did? I set a schedule, and everybody that was on that trip, every day we were on the trip, was assigned another person in the group that they needed to do something nice for. It's pretty bad when we got to assign it. Any of you kids were in the school when Pastor Jerry Ross got fed up with some of the unkindness that was going on. We had an outbreak epidemic of unkindness going on in their Christian school. Don't look shocked at me. I thought it was a Christian school. Yeah, and guess what? There's sinners there just like there's sinners in the public school. And, you know, this started. And by the way, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So this kid says something unkind, and this kid hears it, and he says something unkind. Pretty soon that begins to be normal. Being unkind. So I went out there and on a Wednesday chapel and I preached a whole message on kindness. And I said, we're going to have a kindness revival. A kindness revival. It's going to be a forced revival. And I did. Every single day, the kids had to write down at the end of the day three kind things that they had done. And it couldn't be for the same three kids, their friends, and it'd be different people every day. Now, folks, I can't make you do this, or I would. But you know, if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit of God, you won't have to be made to do anything. How about this verse, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Isn't it interesting? Again, once we watch what God did, it's easier for us to learn to do it. Let me ask you, has God forgiven you? Has God been kind to you? Mercy sakes. Shame on you if you're hesitating there. Good night. I mean, God's been so good, so kind, so merciful, so gracious to each and every one of us here. That, you know, and so, you know what? What about this? How about some daddy leadership here? How about a family altar? How about family devotions? How about once a week? Hey, we're going to pray for this one family in our church all week this week, just special. And we're going to pray for a Bible. We're going to pray special for this family, and let's we're going to do something anonymous. We're going to do something secret. You know, what you do in secret, God rewards openly. You need to understand that principle. And you know what? Then the next week, we're going to pick another family. And I wondered what that would do to turn the hearts of your children to love the brethren and love their church family. Or you could keep doing what you're doing and pick a different family every week to have an odd against or to gossip about or to be mad at or to spread a rumor about. You could do that. But that's a cancer in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how much do I love God? Well, let's get the tape measure out. First of all, how much do I love the brother? Measuring stick number two, 1 John chapter 5. You're right there in chapter 4. Let's look at chapter 5, verse number 2. 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, the second important portion of scripture is in the Gospel of John. Let's move over there in chapter number 14. The Gospel of John, chapter number 14. How much do I love God? My love for God can be measured by my love for the brethren. How much, preacher, do I love God? My love for God can be measured by my obedience to God's commandments. John chapter 14 and verse number 15. John 14, 15. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love, this is the words of Jesus, red letter words. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How about chapter 15? Look at verse number 10. Chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now listen carefully, because I want to talk to you about this unique relationship we have with God. Our relationship with God is not an equal relationship. The only person that ever was determined to have an equal relationship with God, the only angelic being that decided that he would be as God, got tossed out of heaven. And he became Satan. Okay? You are not equal to God. I am not equal to God. I shouldn't desire to be equal with God. I'm trying to explain that there's a relationship and it's not like this, it's like this. Okay? And so because of that, our love relationship can be measured by our obedience, because it's a relationship that involves authority. Stay with me. What I mean is this: God has authority over me. Okay, he loves me, but he has authority over me. I am trying my best to learn how to love him, but I can't take that, push aside the idea that I want to love him and I need him to treat me as an equal. That's not going to happen. Okay, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he is my Father and I'm his child. He is my creator and I'm his creation. He is my master, I'm his servant. He is my God, and I'm supposed to be his obedient follower. And so because of that relationship, because of this, our love for God can and should be measured by our obedience. Once again, words are cheap. Anyone can claim to love God, but let's get the tape measure out, okay? By love, my love as a subordinate is measured not by words, not by how much I talk to people about how much I love God, but by my obedience. Now, this is a great lesson for us. You know what, folks, listen to me. When I look up to God and I say to him, God, I love you. And you know what he has every right to do? He has every right then to deal back with me in this matter of my obedience. He has every right to begin to convict my heart about my obedience, because again and again and again, in the Bible, in 1 John 5, 2, John 14, 15, John 14, 21, John 15, 10, folks, good night. Four different times, and we could find more where God says, if you love me, then you obey my commandments. Now notice this. He uses the word commandment in every single one of these verses. You know where we can find God's commandments? Right here in God's holy word. All right. Now, God has every right to command me. Every right in the world to command me. I heard a man say something, and I called him on it. Folks, more and more, there's getting to be this this idea that, you know, there are, you know, it's, and it is, I'll just explain it where it comes from. It's humanism trying to be married to the Word of God. But you know how humanism teaches, first of all, the first tenet of humanism is there's no absolutes. You'd be surprised how many churches are saying the same thing. I heard a man say this. He was a preacher, and he said, I'm afraid we're trying to take the New Testament and just using it, turn it into a glorified version of the Old Testament. Then he went on to say how the Old Testament was filled full of commandments, and we're trying to do that with the New Testament. Well, excuse me, but read the New Testament. It's full of commandments. And this idea of, well, when we got saved, we're no longer under the law. It's almost as if they want to say there is no absolutes. They hide behind the idea of being led by the Spirit. Okay? And what they're, well, they're being led by the Spirit, but they better check out which Spirit they're being led by. Okay, because the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to disobey the Holy Scriptures. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is not going to lead you to disobey the Holy Scriptures. And by the way, if there's anything close, I don't know if it is, it's probably in the neighborhood of blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God. Accuse him of leading you to disobey the Scriptures. Okay, now what am I saying? I'm saying we've got the inspired, preserved words of God, and we can read them, and we can see that God says to us as born of good believers, thou shalt and thou shalt not. And he means it. Now, it's impossible for me to go to God and say, God, you know what, I love you, and to be living every day defiantly disobeying what I know to be the direct commands of God. Now, a new Christian, they may not know a whole lot of what God expects. And so you know what? I think God loves them like he loves a baby. You know, a baby don't under, newborn babes in Christ. You don't. But as we grow and as we learn and as we look in the Scriptures and as God convicts our heart about things, then you know what? It's wrong for me. It's wrong for me to say that I love God and be living in defiant disobedience to the commands of Almighty God in my life. So be very careful. See, we're talking about a measuring stick here. You know what? How much do you love God? How much do you love God? It's tied to this idea of obedience. Now remember, why is that again? I want you to remember, why is that again? Because what we have is we have a relationship that involves authority, someone who's supposed to be in authority, and someone who's supposed to be in submission. And you know what? God can say, I love you. And by the way, you'll never find proof that he doesn't. But you know what? We can say, I love you back. And God can say, well, then let's deal with this thing that you've heard preached 150,000 times that you still are stubbornly, defiantly disobedient about. And you know what? There's no way in the world we can claim to love God and disobey his commandments. I want to say something, and I could teach this because there's 7. I had a short nap. And so I'm trying to keep the message short. What I mean, started to say is didn't have a whole lot of time to study. Now, that may make you think that the sermon should be shorter. But I had a guy one time I went to hear to preach, and he preached an hour and a half. And I told him afterwards, I said, brother, if you'd had more time to study, you could have said what you said in 45 minutes. And so sometimes not having enough time to study is evidenced in the, wait a minute, why am I under conviction all of a sudden here? All right. Let's move on. I'm going to tell you, if I didn't study, they'd be 3 hours. I'll tell you that right now. But, hey, you know, there's 7 different relationships in the Bible that's identified as God placed these. Man didn't choose these. God placed these as far as the authority and as far as who's supposed to be subordinate. And by the way, the whole culture can stick their tongue out at it and act like it's not true. But you know what? Let God be true and every man a liar. And, of course, the first relationship was the believer-God relationship, and then the citizen-government relationship. And by the way, you know what? God put the authorities, human authority, government, that's ordained of God. And you know what? Rebellion's a problem in America everywhere. And you know what? You want to talk down this and talk down that. I'm not going to obey this. I'm not going to obey that. Hey, you know what? God says that you're supposed to be in submission, subjection to the powers that God has allowed. As long as they're not passing laws that are anti-Bible or anti-Christ, we know that we can't obey man rather than God. But you know what? I don't have to agree with the other ones, but you know what? If they don't break the word of God, then let's obey them. Don't say you love America and then go out and break all the laws of America. The employer-employee, the church member-pastor relationship, staff pastor, senior pastor relationship, 1 Peter chapter 5, wife-husband relationship, and of course the child-parent relationship. And that's what I want to deal with for a few minutes. Look right here, but listen to me, okay? Every one of you young people, listen to me. Now, shame on you if you're not obeying your mom and dad. Don't you tell me you love your mom. Don't you dare come to me and tell me you love your mom, you love your dad, and you live in direct defiance against what they ask you to do and tell you to do. Okay? No more than I can go to God and say, I love you, God, and be breaking all his commandments. You don't love your parents. And shame on you for not loving your parents. Shame on you for your rebellion. Okay? You're not smarter than mom and dad. Your mom and dad have more brains in their little finger than you have in your whole body. You need to humble yourself. You need to start listening. You need to start obeying. Okay? And so what I'm saying is this, you know what? Love, when it comes to a authority figure, it is and always can be measured in this matter of obedience. And so that's the measuring stick number two, all right? How much do I love God? My love can be measured by my love for the brethren, by my obedience to God's commandments. And then quickly, since I'm under conviction now, number three, let's go to John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. Oh, this is good. This last part is good. It'll be a blessing to you. John chapter number 21. And let me set the stage for this. Here we have Peter, the Apostle Peter, and Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's appeared to his disciples, but now it's been some time, and he hasn't seen the Savior, and all of a sudden Peter... the Bible says in verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. He said, preacher, what's wrong with going fishing? Well, I remember one time when Jesus went to these men who were fishermen and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they forsook their nets and followed him. So this isn't a matter of taking a day off going fishing. This was a turning away from what God's calling on their life to go back to the life they had before. And they say unto him, we go, also go with thee. Oh, listen to me, listen to me. When you backslide, you'll influence other people to backslide. Yeah, but that's not my responsibility. No, ultimately, you know what? They will answer to God for backsliding. But you'll answer to God for influencing them, for being a bad influence in their life. That's a sin also. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Boy, there's so much to teach here. You go on out and live your life without God, you'll start casting a net and coming up empty. Man, if you'll just listen to Jesus, your net will be full. Come on now. Wherefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. You know why? Because they'd seen that done before. They'd seen that done before. Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid thereon. And bread, and Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fishes which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. 153, remember that? You know, God doesn't put anything in the Bible without a reason. 153 fish. I've never caught that many in a day. 153 fish. And for all there were so many, they were not, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith to him, come and dine. And none of them disciples just asked, who art thou, knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth, and fish likewise. This is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Now we get into the conversation. Okay, Peter, you're the ringleader, so you're the one that's going to get a talking to. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? More than these. Okay, let's get our thinking cap on. Lovest thou me more than these? Peter jumped out of the boat, swam to shore. Jesus had food cooking. He said, Peter, go back and help him. I like that. You know, he didn't get out of work. Go back and help him. He said, bring the fish in. Count them. 153, Lord. Okay. You love me more than these. These what? 153 fish? 153 fish. You say, preacher, when they say it like that, good night. How can you say that you'd love 153 fish more than you would love Jesus? Well, apparently you did, Peter. Because you left me to go get 153 fish. You couldn't even get them without my help. But now that I've helped you, I want you to count them. Now, what about that 153 fish? There they are. You see them flopping all over the rocky shore? There they are. Well, that's a lot of filleting. And they're going to be able to eat some of them if they do it in a timely fashion. The rest, maybe they can sell and they get a little bit of silver. So at the end of the day, they've got three things left, okay? They've got full bellies that'll last a day or two. They've got a little silver in their pocket that may last the week. And they have whatever they didn't use. They've got a bunch of stinking fish. And Jesus said, you love me more than that? I mean, that's more important to you than me? What's the measuring stick here, preacher? The measuring stick of our love is the... Listen, you can measure God's love. You can measure your love for God by whether or not Jesus has first place in your life. First place in your life. What place does he have? The place that you give him in your life measures your love for God, your love for Jesus Christ. And so he says, lovest thou me more than these? There's three things that he's going to make Peter look at here. Then he goes on and says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Sorry, words are cheap. I love Jesus, preacher. I won't be here Sunday because we're going camping. But boy, I love Jesus. Sorry, you can say anything you want to. Okay. See you, preacher, next Sunday morning. Well, we sure ought to come Sunday night, Wednesday night. I know, but you know, boy, I'll tell you what, we're tired. Things are, okay, words are cheap. Words are cheap, you know. But here Peter is confirming the fact that he loves God. And then he said unto them, feed my lambs. Three times. By the way, how many times did Peter deny Jesus Christ? Three times. Jesus is going to make him answer this question three times. You know what? I love the Lord. I love the way he does. Until he's doing it to me, I love the way he does. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And saith to him, feed my sheep. The first time he said, feed my lambs. Now he says, feed my sheep. Saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter being grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And again, Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now watch this. Jesus is going through a process here. He said, come on, Peter, let's measure this love thing. Okay? First of all, let's measure it by comparison. 153 fish or me? Young men, you're going to grow up and you got to make decisions in life. Boss is going to come to you on Saturday night and say, hey man, double time tomorrow. I need you to work if you possibly can. And you got a chance to get the measuring stick out and measure your love. Yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. I would make $400 in one day. Jesus said, $400. By the way, that sounds like a lot of money to these young people. $400 in today's economy. Come on, folks, after you write a few checks and pay a few bills, really, that was worth telling Jesus, sorry, you're down the list. Okay? I'm talking about real life decisions that we have to make. Okay? All over this auditorium, there's men that throughout their life have on purpose made decisions. I've got guys working third shift that wouldn't have to work third shift, but it's the only way they can be faithful to church. I've got guys in here turned down promotions. You know why? Because they couldn't do their bus route. I've seen it all through my life. You know what? Opportunities, but you know what? At some point, to make a few more what? So you can have a few more fish? Okay, fill your belly a little more, have a little more silver in your pocket that's going to disappear anyway. But what about those souls that you would have saw saved? What about that young person that you could discourage? Well, if they don't think church is important, why should I think church is important? I'm talking about real life stuff here. I'm talking about real life decisions here, okay? And Jesus says, hey, let's get the measuring stick out. I've listened to you, Peter, tell me three times how much you love me. Let's get the measuring stick out. Is it the fish or is it me? And then he says this, is it my will or your will? Because see, God had called him, I'll make you fishers of men. He said, there's a bunch of sheep and there's a bunch of lambs. There's a bunch of adults and there's a bunch of kids that need fed. And I called you into the ministry and I called you to do that. And here you are back doing what you were doing for you even met me. And so he said, you know what? You're going to have to decide. Your love for me is measured by me on this matter of, is things more important than me? Is your will and what you want to do? Boy, I've got some young people. I just want to shake you and I mean it. I understand all of the things, and I think I've been as patient or more patient than a preacher maybe ought to be. But boy, there's sometimes I just watch. I think to myself, I'm sorry. Well, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I want to do that. What do you ever think about what God wants you to do? Okay, what's His will for your life? Well, I want to. Well, so what? Well, I don't want to do that. So what? And God says, you know what, don't go around spouting off about loving me and then putting your will before my will. And then he gets down to the end of the story here. And it says in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, here's the last thing he says to Peter. Very simple, follow me. So here's our measuring sticks. Here's how we know how much we love God. First of all, we look at this matter of, do we love the brethren? And you know what, if you've got issues there, and I mean this, listen, you're not the first Christian, you're not the last Christian's had issues there. I'm not throwing stones at you. I'm telling you, you have no right to talk about how much you love God if you can't even treat people in this church, your brothers and sisters, Christ, decent. And be kind to them and decent to them and loving to them and forgiving to them. Don't come tell me about the love of God. Okay? And then this matter of obeying God's commandments. You know what? Every time I understand a commandment of God and obey it, what I just said to God was, love you. I love you, God. I love you, God. And then this matter of, all right, here's the measuring stick. Are things more important than me? Then don't talk to me about love, Peter. Okay? Is your will and what you want to do more important to what I've called you to do? Then don't talk to me about how much you love me. And by the way, if you're willing to walk away from me instead of follow me, don't be telling me how much I love you. Well, this morning, we tried to tackle an inexhaustible subject, and we tried to measure a bit something that's immeasurable. But you know what? When it comes to us, God's given us a tape measure. And you know what? You don't have to sit there and guess whether it's an 8-foot board, 10-foot board, or 12-foot board. You can get a tape measure out and measure it. And you know what? With the scriptures, we can take a look and say, God, you know what? My love needs to be perfected. It needs to mature. It needs to grow. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, dear God, to come and present these scriptures. And Lord, it's helped me. The study of these things have helped me. And Lord, brought me under conviction. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would determine to read and study and delight in your love for us, because that really is the foundational, motivation to love you back. And Lord, if we tried the rest of our life as hard as we could, and we did everything we could to prove it, we still would never, never match the love that you have for us. But Lord, we want you, to know that we love you. And Lord, when we say it, we want to not have it just be words, but Lord, for you to be able to look down and say, you know, Jerry, I know that you love me. Lord, I love you. I know that you love me. I know that you love me. I see you love the brethren. I know that you love me. I see you diligently work hard to keep my commandments. I know that you love me, because your life is not about things, and your life is not about your will, and your life is not about walking away. It's about following. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to measure things out. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help us. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We can't do this without the help of the Holy Spirit. that we would surrender ourselves more completely to your Spirit's leading in our life, to be filled with the Spirit of God so that we can begin to display the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, may this message minister in a mighty way to the people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We pray these things in Jesus' name.